It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. It's the Giggity Game Plan.
Is he going to say giggity? Did I say giggity? Are other people allowed to say giggity? Giggity.
What?
Nothing. It's stupid.
This is the game plan, but some people say it's the crapshoot. Here's Rain and Matt.
Blue Guy, good afternoon to you. Matt Page, I'm saying hello.
How you doing?
I'm Rain. Is it Wednesday?
It is Wednesday, my dude.
Okay, it's officially Wednesday, so we could start out with Maximum Scherzer versus Joe Girardi, or just put that in the kerfuffle, because that was awesome. He almost took his pants off. Was it Sergio Romo that actually basically did take his pants off?
That is correct.
Man, this foreign substance stuff is getting good, isn't it?
No, I think it's distracting. I think it's annoying. I think it's stupid. Why are you checking him that many times?
Three times in the first four innings.
Why?
He was a little perturbed. You know, it's funny.
Is it gamesmanship? Is that what's going on?
Well, of course it is. There's a lot of people that are very angry at Joe Girardi right now.
And you're taking his side, aren't you?
I'm going to take his side, and I'll tell you why. Please.
Is it because you think he should still be the manager of the Yankees?
I'll answer that question in about 45 minutes.
That's a tease.
Specifically, in the You're Killing Me Small segment, we air our sports grievances, our sports festivus, what makes you just roll your eyes. You might roll your eyes at me. That's perfectly fine. Please understand there's a caveat to all of this. I completely understand the narrative of why people are annoyed by Joe Girardi, but that actually plays into why I will defend him in a little while. And there might be a reason for that. Perhaps it's my own selfish reasons, but we'll get to it. What about DeAndre Ayton? Do you start out with that? Because wow.
Beast.
Wow.
Absolute fantastic game from him last night.
It wasn't just that one particular play and the dunk with Crowder in the inbound pass. That wasn't it at all. It was actually, he's been performing throughout the playoffs.
And he stepped up when CP3 wasn't there.
Yeah, CP3, of course, immediately on FaceTime. The Suns are up 2-0. Then you get CP3 back. Good luck if you're the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
And I don't believe that they're going to have the services of Kawhi Leonard tomorrow.
I don't think they're going to have him all series.
Yeah, they're expected to have CP3 back, talking about the Suns, the Clippers, their best player, arguably, not so much. And the choke job on the foul line by, what is it, Playoff P? Is that what they're calling Paul George now? Wow.
How do you miss two in a row like that?
How did you miss both? That's crazy. What a game, though.
If he didn't miss those two, they would have gone to overtime.
Yeah, we could talk about that, and we probably will. We've got 2 hours, thanks to Orange Nation for taking you from noon to two. Axe will take you from four to six, and he will have... Well, what is our jump off today? Kayla Traynor, hired as Syracuse women's lacrosse coach. First of all, right on hiring a woman.
Agreed.
28 years old. She will also be one of the youngest coaches in major college sports. So some great things happening for Kayla Traynor.
The third coach in history for that program.
Do you feel like she was kind of the favorite? That's what everybody,
yes.
I feel like that's what the fan base wanted.
I agree.
Pretty good move here.
They wanted a homecoming.
She turns 28 in November.
Wow.
She was on the short list. There's a press conference with her at 3 o'clock today. Q Sports Talk, where you can watch us right now on twitch.tv. We'll be with you till then. Then Twitch is going to jump off and cover that, and we will stay with you on the radio. 97.7, 100.1. That's ESPN Radio Syracuse. ESPN Radio Utica Rome is at 96.5 FM. Don't forget, you can stream on the .coms. That's ESPNUR or ESPN Syracuse. Don't forget the Amazon Alexa device. Another way to listen is to enable the ESPN Syracuse skill or the ESPN Utica Rome skill. Just a couple other ways that you can listen. The James Mitsubishi Sportszilla Show podcast is always out and available within usually about 30 minutes after we get done. So usually by 4:30, you'll be able to find that. If we talk about the Yankees today, I want everybody to know it's brought to you by William Matar. Hurt in a car, call William Matar, 444-4444. That's between 2 and 4 because Matt and I are back tonight, probably with an axe delay, about 6:04. We'll get you Yankees on deck. How did they lose that game last night?
Leaving players and running, or you know, runners in scoring position quite a bit last night. Too much for my liking.
13
and
left.
That's been an issue all season long.
13 left on base, 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. But hey, Luke Voit came back and homered.
First pitch of his at-bat, home run. Bad, love to see it.
Bad loss to a bad team. Inexcusable. You have wasted another Garrett Cole start. They are 8-7 in his starts. How is that possible? Yes, the revolutions per minute, his spin rate is down, but he is dominant without that because he's just that good. He got checked too. They're checking players, man.
They're checking everyone.
This is some crazy stuff. This is. Let's talk about Kayla Traynor a little bit more in detail throughout the next couple of hours. Let's get to Mario Sacco on the phone at 2:15. Sportscaster Wednesday means Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports at about 3:15, all on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line. Nico Tamarin is normally joins us at about 2:30 with the Kayla Traynor press conference. I think we're going to talk to him at about 3:30. We're about 80% confirmed on that. But we'll give that a go. That means we'll move soundcheck up to 2:30. Got some great audio to play for you today. But I'm ready to answer some questions. So why don't you throw some at me? Matt's segment is called Does It Matter on the Sportzilla Show.
Does it matter? It's the Sportzilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Does it matter?
Does it matter that Kayla Traynor will be on with Axe at about 4:20?
Thank you for the shameless plug. Yeah, Axe hit us up this morning with a little text action, said, hey, I'm paraphrasing or making part of this up. He was like, yo, Sportzilla Show, my favorite, my radio brothers. Can you give a shameless plug for Kayla Traynor going to be joining me at 4:20 this afternoon? And, of course, we were like, right on, Axe. We got your back, Matt. He just texted and said that she was going to be on at 4:20, and I said that I would pass that information along. To preview that for you so you can all set an appointment with Axe to listen to the new head coach of Syracuse women's lacrosse. A great hire.
Yep.
It really is. All right, let's talk about her a little bit more. So she is a champion. I mean, she's been at Boston College, who just won the women's lacrosse title. Obviously, we know who they beat. So, I mean, the resume is just incredible. That's not including her playing career for Syracuse. She's got a team that's expected to win immediately. She's still playing. She's still playing. She's a participant with Team Yes. USA, the U.S. national team. Just it's incredible. You couldn't get somebody better right now than her to follow up Gary Gate.
A multiple-time All-American as well with Syracuse.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you're going arguably the best men's player ever in the program, and now arguably one of the best women's players ever in the program. Things are looking good. I'm curious to hear what she has to say.
I agree.
You understand when you do press conferences like this to introduce a new coach, there's a lot of generic platitudes. We can all kind of predict some of it. But you know what? Every individual's personality tends to shine, and there's going to be some stuff that she's going to say that we're going to take note of and, of course, talk about. We have to wait till that happens. We'll do our best to monitor at 3 o'clock, but you are going to get more, once again, with Axe at 4:20 today. And every journalist in Central New York, sports journalist, is ready to cover that.
I'm curious to see how this affects recruiting going forward. A woman as a head coach being able to talk to fellow women about playing for the program.
You know what's crazy? Your coach could go on the field and arguably be the best player on the field.
Be better than you.
If that's not a coach that you want that can get her hands dirty and really show you how to play this game and the respect factor because she's done it and she Correct. Is not far removed from her playing days, this is a fantastic hire. Kayla Traynor, welcome aboard. Next question on ESPN Radio, the Sportzilla Show, and Does It Matter?
Does it matter that Stephen A. Smith is just kind of a jerk to everyone?
Yeah, he's got some crap going on with Ben Simmons. He aired some dirty laundry with that text. Everybody's heard about this now.
Yes.
I just received a text from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. He doesn't work, he doesn't listen, and everyone around him is family, and he's constantly babied. You know, I believe that because he made a point when he said nothing has changed in his game. In 4 years in the league, Ben Simmons is the exact same player that he was from year one to right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Except, actually, no, he's regressed because it's clearly mental issues.
Because he's afraid to take a three. Just deathly afraid of it. He doesn't want to do it. He's playing a point guard position, but can't take a three-pointer in today's day and game.
Yeah, today, yeah, in the modern NBA, he refused to refused to shoot. He shot three times in the fourth quarter. Over seven quarters, he shot three times in the fourth quarter, in seven fourth quarters. I don't know if I'm explaining that right. I think it's pretty clear. How is that possible?
Because he's afraid of the moment.
He's terrified of the moment. Listen, I don't know if he's going to put in some extra work. I don't know if this will open his eyes, but I agree with Stephen A., and I would also further the narrative that he needs a change of scenery. You're done in Philadelphia. Listen, you want to talk about a tough fan base, whether it's the Sixers or the Eagles or the Phillies or whoever. It's a tough fan base.
Very tough.
There's certain markets in this country. The fans are passionate, and you're done.
They're rabid.
You're done in Philadelphia. Get out. They are not going to let you forget this at all.
What are they going to get for him, though? That's the issue. His stock is probably as low as it's ever been.
Not nearly what, in theory, you should get for Ben Simmons prior to the meltdown or whatever happened to him literally over the last 10 days or so. Just, it's remarkable because he is a good basketball player. There is some major skill there, but he's developed no other part of his game, and there you are. You're stuck with this guy.
But I feel like he needs to play either a forward or a power forward role.
Then he's going to have to shoot threes and not be afraid to them. Stephen A. versus regarding Devin Booker, throwing out that he's the next Kobe Bryant, which I think, way too soon. Way. Did I mention that's way too soon? You cannot. That is pressure. Give him a chance. And I think it's now 12 total playoff games that he has played in his life. It's not even close. The resume is not even close to Mamba at all. To Kobe. It's just, it's not fair right now. How about the last 90 seconds of that game took 33 minutes in real time?
Yeah, 5 field goals and 5 reviews.
You want to ask?
Way too much.
You want to ask me if that matters?
Yeah, does it matter?
Yeah, it's a problem. Baseball's slow, so slow it down more by checking all of these pitchers. Oh, hey, and do it to Max Scherzer in the middle of an inning. That's just, you're furthering your own problem.
You make another pitcher take his pants off.
You're adding to your own problem. Well, same thing with the NBA. People are getting tired of all of these reviews. 5 field goals, 5 reviews. How is that possible?
33 minutes.
I guess Cameron Payne. That's why it's possible. He was the man. He stepped in, man.
Yes, he did.
And I loved his post-game answers. He was humble. He understands that he was there to fill in for CP3. That entire team follows CP3. They're going to close this out, man. I'm telling you.
Do you predict a sweep?
It's looking like the broom's coming out, yeah.
Especially if they do get CP3 back?
The one thing for the Clippers, I guess, is this series does return home. Did Sergio Romo take his pants off to be spiteful?
Probably.
By the way, let's return back to Major League Baseball. Did he take his pants off to be spiteful like Max Scherzer did? Or is he just kind of like, am I supposed to take my pants off? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing here. Here's everything.
Probably a little bit of both.
Check it all.
You know, it's, you can't claim anything if you just show all the evidence, if you give them everything. So no one can question him, can they?
Yeah, well,
literally handed everything over.
He really
and
did.
Some.
Did you laugh?
Yeah.
Did you laugh at that?
Well, at first I rolled my eyes because I'm like, really? Why? And then I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of hilarious.
Did you laugh at the Nats pitching coach? I can't remember his name, but when Girardi stormed out of the dugout,
yes,
when they were checking Scherzer, and he was like, oh, hold me back, man, hold me back. And Girardi was like, yeah, he was coming out all tough. And,
yeah,
and then the umpire stepped in and he just kind of turned around.
Correct.
Turned tail and left.
He's like, yeah, I gotcha.
I think for a brief moment, though, Joe Girardi wanted to fight.
For why?
I think he did. He got ejected, and it was a clown show. It was an embarrassment to the game. But behind the scenes, and what happened when all was said and done, the game was over. The Nats did win that, by
the
way.
3-2.
So at the end of the day, the Nats won that for all of those shenanigans. I'm going to tell you what happened in that locker room when we get to your Killing Me Smalls. I promise. Let's pause now. Let's get to the kerfuffle. A little bit more of, I guess, this foreign substance issue, which is a brawl between the league and Manfred and the players. And it's just craziness. And I'm here for it.
You don't want to talk about the NBA lottery that the Knicks weren't part of?
That's the only reason I'm invested in this. I thought I was going to care, and then I get home last night, and I was like,
But I don't care that Detroit won, really. I'm happy for Jeremy Grant, but that's about it.
And Troy Weaver,
yes.
Obviously. And Troy Weaver, formerly a member of the Syracuse University basketball family, and he's out there now, so that's good for him.
Don't care that Houston was number 2. Could care less that Cleveland was 3. And Toronto being 4, okay, you're going to lose Kyle Lowry in the offseason, so it doesn't matter.
It was always a joke that the Knicks are in the lottery, And it was a relief that, oh my God, you get to watch the NBA draft lottery without the Knicks being part of it. And yet last night I was like, wait, this sucks without the Knicks being part of it. Because usually I'm used to, hey, they have a really good chance of being in the top three. And we were joking earlier, how are they going to end up getting the eighth pick? Because they're predicted in the top three. Because whatever could possibly go wrong for the Knicks always went wrong. And all of that was taken away. So to me, it was blah.
Hey, the Knicks have two first-round picks, though, the 19 and 21.
They also, after the lottery and it's all said and done, have about $50 million in cap space. They have more cap space than any team in the NBA. Draft capital and cap space.
Makes them dangerous.
And they got a lot better last year. I'm excited. Give me that. Come on. Admit it.
Yes, they have cap space.
There is a future for the Knicks.
Possibly.
Maybe a big
How you use the money.
Maybe a big free agent goes there.
Possibly.
Okay. You're just not going to give me anything. Mario Sacco with News Channel 9 is next. We'll get to the kerfuffle on ESPN Radio.
It's the Sports Zealous Show with Rain and the Glue Guy on ESPN Radio at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
The man who has offered to bet pizza and wings against Alex Sims if we ever get a Battle of the Sexes Sportzilla open golf match set up, our good buddy Mario Sacco with News Channel 9, nice enough to join us. Listen, he's going to be covering the Kayla Traynor press conference. She is the new Syracuse women's lacrosse head coach, not quite 28 years old. Just an amazing resume. Let's just look at the last 3 years she's been up with Boston College. We all painfully know who they just beat to win a national championship. It's a loss for them. Let's be perfectly honest, and a huge gain for Syracuse. And the expectation is walking in the door. Think about this. I'm one of the youngest coaches anywhere in Division I sports. Oh, and by the way, you should probably win a national championship next year. Mario, take it from there. I think she can handle this, though.
Just look at her resume, playing at Syracuse, four-time All-American, playing under Gary Gates, what she did at Boston College as an assistant coach. You know, Charlotte North, yes, she's a phenomenal lacrosse player and the best in the nation, winning the Torreyton this year, but I'm sure Kayla had a hand in helping her develop her game. And, you know, not to mention she comes back home. You know, she's from the capital region. Went to Niskayuna High School. It's just a great fit for Syracuse and a great story to have another legend in the program, if it be men's or women's, be able to come back and coach here. Some might say maybe she doesn't have the pedigree, coaching pedigree, but let's be honest, guys. She played for Team USA. She knows the game. She's a perfect fit for Syracuse University.
Yeah, we were talking about that. She's still an active player.
Correct.
And I said to Matt Mario, I'm like, you got a coach that can go on the field and arguably be the best player on the field. Literally. That's an amazing thing. So here's my question, and I would venture to say at the press conference at 3 o'clock, which, by the way, is going to be on Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv, but somebody, whether it's you or somebody else, is going to say, what are you going to do to take the program to the next level? In other words, Gary Gate was the coach for the past 14 years. You even played for him. But what will you do to make this program your own? What little tweaks and changes might you implement? And what do you think that might be?
I don't know if she has to implement anything different. It's just a matter of being able to win the big game. I mean, they're getting the top talent across the nation there. It's just being able to win that game. They've been there three times, and Gary said, you know, if you'd like to have a do-over one thing, it'd be, you know, to win a national championship. The talent, look what he has coming, look what they have coming back next year with Emily Harris, Chuck, you know, Megan Carney coming back, Sam Swart, you know, all of them coming back and a load of talent and underclassmen that they had. You know, it's just returning the favor, so to say, and maybe we get another rematch against Boston College last year, but I think right away it's going to be how can she keep that recruiting to that level that Gary built. And, you know, I would think she's not going to have a problem. The talent that she was getting at Boston College, I'm sure that she's going to bring here to Syracuse.
Mario Sacco, News Channel 9, is with us here on the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio, talking new SU women's lacrosse coach Kayla Traynor. You're going to get a press conference at 3 o'clock. One more time, I'll remind you, Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv. And our guy Brent Axe will have her on the block at 4:20 today. All right, let's move along. We kind of have you penciled in for our kerfuffle segment where we talk about some of the beefs happening in the world of sports. And isn't it now Joe Girardi, Glue Guy's laughing, and what happened with the Nationals and his guy Maximum Scherzer last night, who almost took his pants off. We were laughing about Sergio Romo almost.
The A's guy did take his pants off. He was halfway down last night.
Sergio Romo. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I understand kind of both sides of the narrative with Joe Girardi, for example. It was straight gamesmanship. I don't care what he said. He was full of crap in the post game, going, oh, I've never seen him touch his hair before. Nonsense. But I think behind closed doors, he garnered some respect from the Phillies. You've got to love playing for a guy who's not afraid to go for it like that. Because even though the Nats won that game, it got in Max Scherzer's head rent-free. And he's going to stay there for a while. And these two teams will play each other again. What do you think, Mario?
I think it's more along the lines of the MLB has to do something different. They can't be pausing in between games every, you know, half inning to check out these guys' waistlines and hats and so forth. You know, there has to be a way around this. If it be, you know, we're going to check you at the beginning of the game and a hallway at the dugout to, you know, when you leave the game after, we're going to check you. And if something happens, you know, I don't know, we're going to dock you or something. But there has to be a way around checking a mid-game. The way things are going on, you know, Scherzer wasn't the only one. We mentioned the ace pitcher, you know, DeGrom laughing the other day when they did it to him. It's just become a joke for Major League Baseball.
And it's also making the time of the game go on even more so now. And, you know, ratings are going down. And, you know, MLB is just making more of an issue with that.
Embarrassing themselves, yeah. Mario. Go ahead.
I'm just embarrassing themselves. You want to talk about time of game, though. Let's talk about the NBA game last night, the last 2 minutes.
Oh, for sure.
Taking a half hour.
33 minutes, 90 seconds of a game in
five
real time.
Five field goals, five reviews.
It's utterly ridiculous. And this is a West Coast game. You want the East Coast engaged in this, too. I mean, why do sports leagues cut off their nose despite their face? We know the answer is
money.
TV and revenue, but you've got to serve the fans better, I would think, Mario.
I understand in you always wanting to get something right, but back in the day, wasn't like part of the game the officiating, you know, if a call was missed, you know, that's what it was. You know, yes, you know, I'd ever want to see it on a big stage, you know, miss a blown call, but you were giving Phoenix extra timeouts at the end of the game last night to draw up that play, which was absolutely unbelievable. The pass by Crowder, if you take the one camera angle, he literally has to throw it, you know, to the skin of the backboard to get it up over top of the rim. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, the precision and the timing on that was truly remarkable. There's no doubt. Mario Sacco is with us for a couple more minutes here on ESPN Radio and the Sports Illust Show. So, Cuse men's basketball is hosting Lemoyne. It's been a couple of years, obviously, with the pandemic and whatnot. November 1st, there'll be an exhibition game. Do you recall when they almost beat them in that exhibition game, by the way? Oh, and the last time they played each other, 89-52 Orange. Give me some recollections on this little matchup we got going.
First off, it's great that Lemoyne gets to get in there. I'm good friends with Coach Champion. He's a great guy, and that program's in great hands. You know, there was the time that they beat them, and remember that the time they beat them, I do believe that Syracuse team went to a Final Four that year. So Cuse fans can take a sigh of deep breath there that everything will be okay. That was the famous Jim Boeheim, I'm only running man-to-man game, I do believe.
Yes, it was.
Against Lemoyne.
Yep. Did I misspeak and say almost beat them? They beat them, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Memory, check the memory right there. We got one last question for you, and then we're going to let you go. We know you got to get up to the Kayla Traynor press conference. Glue?
I got to know how you did at the 13th annual Alonzo Open on Saturday.
So, next time, do you guys have Nico on after? Is he coming up?
3:30.
We're looking at him at 3:30 today, cool. Yeah.
Well, just ask Brent and him who won between Tommy Sladak and I and Brent and him, and he can tell you the winner, so.
So you can't tell us.
We picked up a one-stroke victory on that. It's not saying much. We finished 8 over at a tournament. But a two-man scramble, I mean, we had a good time. I had fun playing with Tommy. I got to play with Matt Hosworth, got to see him for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
He left the TV business, but it's always a great cause plan. You know, I ran into actually Matt Mulcahy, the tournament, you know, who he donates the money toward Matt's charity, and just said, you know, always a great time. Thanks for, helping put things on again. So, but yeah, I have a little bragging rights. A one stroke win, a win's a win, I guess. So,
okay.
We'll see when we finally get to play everyone.
All right. Couple crumbs for Mario. Get a couple more from Nico in a little while. We'll fill in the rest of the blanks. Get up there, cover the Kayla Traynor press conference, and we'll look forward to that in just a little while.
Just tell your boy not to bet against the Pirates anymore, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Michael Lear, yeah, we'll hammer him on Friday with this. I love you jumping in on Twitter. That's Mario Sacco at News Channel 9 on the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio. Soundcheck is next.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports sound check.
I like when grown bleep men act like juveniles, immature, petty. Got to have a you-know-what swinging competition with each other. Got to prove their manhood. It's nothing better than a sports kerfuffle, right? A disagreement. And they had one. This foreign substance debate in Major League Baseball, it's bad for the game. It's just another self-inflicted wound. I don't know if it's a direct result of the leadership of Rob Manfred or what's going on, but baseball just screws themselves over. They cut off their nose despite their face, and they do it over and over and over again. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It's really entertaining.
Well, how would you react if you were trying to do your job, and in the middle of it, you have umpires coming out and going, okay, we got to check you for the third time?
Well, yeah, I'm going to get annoyed. I'm going to get frustrated.
The first one, you're like, okay, they're just doing their check. Second one, okay, you know, whatever. The third one, really?
The look's like, all right, I know we got to do this. The second looks like, are you bleeping kidding me?
The third time is, come on.
In four innings, you have got to be bleeping me. I mean, that's kind of how Max Scherzer was. He was like, this is utterly ridiculous, ludicrous. Why are we doing this? Hey, let's slow the game down a little bit more. It takes long enough as it is. And then we get the entertainment, though. I have to be honest with you.
Yeah, but like, you're drawing fans to the sport because of the foolishness.
Yeah.
We're also driving them away because of how long of games are happening.
Yeah, I understand that. But me being a baseball geek, I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you're going to watch no matter what.
It spices up an ordinary, average,
yeah, but you,
slow-moving, molasses-like game.
If the game took 5 hours, you wouldn't care. You're going to watch no matter what.
And it cut me off at 4.5 hours. All right. All right. Let's just be honest here. All right?
Oh, okay. So you do have a limit.
No, that is ridiculous. I mean, that is, as Michael Kay would say, the Yankees broadcaster, an unmanageable amount of time. But I still enjoyed the soap opera aspect of it. I'm actually going to defend Joe Girardi in our next segment. And I don't know if I'm doing.
I don't know why.
I don't even know if I believe what I'm about to say about him. But I guess an outside of the box theory on this. I'm sure I might not be the only one that has formulated this. A lot of people are spewing venom and hate at Joe Girardi. But then, listen, there's going to be people that defend him, and I'm going to be one of them, and I'll explain my reasons why. But whose audio do you want to hear first here in Soundcheck?
Well, before we do that, we do have a programming note for Brent X later tonight.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I will get that in before I go any further. Kayla, thanks for reminding me 3 minutes ago before I went off on my tirade. Kayla Traynor, not at 420 today. She will be talking to Axon on the Block tomorrow. It was initially supposed to be today. It is moved to tomorrow. She's probably got a lot of other things going on, including a press conference that'll be taken at Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv at the top of the hour. Yes, 3 o'clock. All right, so let's get back into this. Whose audio do you want to hear first? Dave Martinez, the Nationals manager. You want to hear the BS that Joe Girardi spewed post-game?
Let's go with Girardi first.
Or I'll give you one more option. Would you like to hear Maximum Scherzer and his thoughts on getting checked by these umpires 3 times in 4 innings?
Go Girardi, then Scherzer.
Okay, so we'll start with Joe Girardi, and this is what he had said.
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010. Obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever. Going like this, right? So it was suspicious for me. He did it about 4 or 5 times. It was suspicious. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I just got to do what's right for our club.
No, it's called gamesmanship.
That's correct.
You're trying to get in his head rent free. And I think he did do that. I think he did. He provoked an emotional, impassioned emotional response. And the death stare in the fifth inning when he walked off the field, which is what led to even more of this. And ultimately, Girardi got ejected from the game. Because, I mean, Girardi acted like a 12-year-old, like a teenager, like a spoiled baby. I mean,
yeah,
it was
ridiculous.
Yeah,
but we're used to that as Yankee fans of seeing that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You wanted to hear Maximum Scherzer next?
Yes, let's get his rebuttal to everything.
Let's get the rebuttal. Great choice of a word there,
Thank
Glue
you.
Guy.
Thank
Sports Illustrated Show, ESPN Radio. And this is Maximum Scherzer's thoughts on getting checked by the umps.
The only part that was really sweaty enough on me to be able to grab any type of moisture was on my hair. It wasn't a warm night's night, so the back of my neck really wasn't that sweaty when I tried to get there. And so for me, the only body part that actually had enough sweat on it was my hair. So, that's fortunate tonight, but I mean, this is going to be dangerous when, you're in a cold game and you have no sweat. What will we do then?
There's nothing tacky on the ball. It'll get even more slippery. It could get dangerous. The Nationals have also responded today, and I'm not making this up. They have said that they want somebody to check Bryce Harper's hair.
Good.
Which is kind of funny. Max Scherzer went on to say these are Manfred rules. Go ask him what he wants to do about this. I've said enough. That's a great quote. I have absolutely zero on me. You can check whatever you want. Take all my clothes off if you want. I have absolutely nothing on me. I will take my clothes off if you want to see me. I've got nothing on me. Dudes are willing to strip down.
To disrobe.
To just end this nonsense. They should not have done it in the middle of the season.
You know what that
That's
quote?
That's the problem. The biggest problem is they're doing this in the middle of the season.
You know what that quote says, though?
What does it say?
He's saying whatever he can to not get fined.
Yeah, right up
so
the line.
So he's going along with the commissioner. Don't fine me, but I'm still going to have my say.
Dave Martinez, manager of the Nationals, here is his auditioned to this ongoing soap opera and narrative, this clown show, if you will. Baseball, what are you doing to yourself?
I thought the umpires did a good job with it. I really did. I mean, it's part of the game now, and they did that due diligence. So as far as Joe's concerned, I think he's got to answer the tough questions about that. You know, I don't need to answer that.
You know Joe Girardi will pull this out of the playbook again, and there's another manager somewhere out there that's going to do this at some point. They'll pick that exact moment in the game, and just to mess with somebody's head, it's going to happen. I'm telling you.
But again, another statement to not get fined or suspended by the league. Oh, the umpires did a great job. He doesn't really believe that, does he?
No, this is all a load of crap. This is all a load of crap. They're all saying whatever they're saying, and it's all nonsense. It means nothing. Not one of those responses from Max Scherzer, Joe Girardi, or Dave Martinez were genuine.
No, not at all.
It is not what they said in the locker room or behind closed doors. It is what they said publicly to the press. And I really wish we had one of them mic'd up. So maybe in a few weeks,
there we go,
we could get some leaked audio. This is what really happened on the field. Where's John Boy when we need him?
I agree. That's fantastic.
Doesn't that John Boy guy have hidden microphones in like all of the locker rooms of all of the Major League Baseball teams?
Here's to hoping.
And then also his ability from the on-field mics and cameras to read lips and figure out what people are saying.
Good idea.
More of that. See, I'm on to something here. This is called Soundcheck. It's the Sports Illustrated Show on ESPN Radio. As we creep a little closer to 3 o'clock, where you can watch the Kayla Traynor press conference on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. She, of course, has been hired as the new Syracuse women's lacrosse coach. Hey, if you're just joining me or just joining us, I wanted to put that out there.
I would like to listen to George Karl speak about the refs.
You would like to hear? Oh, you're selecting the pieces of audio.
Well, yeah,
now.
If you're going
to
give me the choices, I'll take it.
I've actually decided that I should probably inform you what I'm going to play instead of having you blindly react.
Thank
All right.
you. Appreciate it.
Well, yeah, this is, what was it? What was the timing again on it? 33 minutes in real time to get through 90 seconds of a playoff basketball game. 5 field goals, 5 reviews. And George Karl, former coach, and his response.
I don't understand why we can't remedy it by maybe having the decision made in the league office. Mm-hmm. And when they go over to the table, the decision's already made. They might have a short discussion on it. And then, but what happened is, if you think about it, Phoenix got a lot of time to draw up that play and talk about that play. And I thought that was very advantageous to Monty. And now you don't have to save your timeouts. There's an advantage going on right now that I think somewhere along the way, the league has got to examine it and maybe make somewhat of a change.
Yeah, it gives you, in a sense, both teams extra timeouts. That's a great way to look at it, that you don't have to waste your own.
Correct, especially for the offense who's trying to make a plan to score this game-winning bucket.
It is altering the flow of the game and ultimately and potentially the outcome of the game.
But of all leagues, I expect the NBA to go into this offseason and fix that and try to change it.
They've got to. They've got to fix this problem. Like you said, with how slow things are in baseball, the same thing in the NBA. Listen, you're an impassioned fan. You're diehard for a particular sport. They're locked in, for me.
Correct.
Or somebody with insomnia. But your casual fan, the ones that you're trying to keep,
wanted to go to bed at 10 o'clock. They're like, okay, I'll stay up, try to watch the end of this game. And all of a sudden, it becomes a 33-minute, 2.5-minute, or 90-second game. And you're like, I need to go to bed. I need to go to work in the morning.
You either can't keep your eyes open, or
you fell asleep.
Or you're like, you know what? I'm bored with this. Or they go to commercial. You ever done this? You watch something, you go to commercial break, you change the channel, then you forget what you were watching because you got sucked into something else.
Yes.
Don't think that doesn't happen either, because we have the attention span like microwaves. I mean, this is not a crock pot. This is not a slow cooking society anymore. We don't wait. We don't have patience anymore. We just move on to the next thing in form of entertainment. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Fix your sports. We'll leave it at that. You're Killing Me Smalls is next on ESPN Radio.
The Sportszilla Show.
Oh, yeah?
Bringing the Central New York sports fan together.
You're supposed to wear your mask all over your nose.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone listen up?
You're Killing Me Smalls. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Well, for Pete's sake, here we go again.
We got a guy, Jason Anthony, up in a Q Sports Talk Twitch chat. Eating popcorn's more entertaining than steroid era. Funny. We're rapping back and forth. Our guy Ryan Mullen jumped back in there. It's been a minute. It's good to see you back in there corresponding. Get yourself a Twitch account. You can watch and listen that way.
And interact.
And interact, which we love. Orange Nation on the block with Brent Axe and us here on the Sportszilla Show on demand. After the fact, then again, there is also the James Mitsubishi Sportszilla Show podcast. Apple, Google, Spotify, SoundCloud, Amazon. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the Sportszilla Show. And you can listen to Devo from the other day. And I'll tell you why. Because Ryan Mullen said, hey, when are we going to get these two players, these last two players' names released? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. DJ Kennedy and Joe Johnson. People are pushing for Jimmer Fredette is another one that you're hearing.
And by the way, I asked about Joe Johnson, and he shot me right down.
He shot it right down. He did verify it will not be former Syracuse players. Just putting that out there. In just a couple of minutes, Twitch is going to flip over to the Kayla Traynor press conference. She is the new Syracuse women's lacrosse coach. In case you're just joining us or you're wondering where can I find that, it'll be there. We'll stay with you on the radio. As soon as that's done, you'll see our faces for radio back on your Twitch screen. Real quick, though, you're Killing Me Smalls. Before we get into hour number two, the Sports Festivus or airing of our grievances, what makes us roll our eyes and invoke that pop culture movie or phrase, you're Killing Me Smalls from The Sandlot? Well,
I think it's you with this take.
First of all, I'm going with Tokyo first and the Olympics. They're saying, because it's customary in Japan, there's going to be no cheering. And some of this has to do with COVID and 50% capacity and mask and different things like that. But I'm like, no cheering at all?
No cheering.
Can you golf clap? Can you be like, you can't cheer and be vocal and be loud, but can you be like, yay, you know, little golf clap. Can you even hear that?
No.
Can you do that? A little golf clap?
I don't think you can.
Is that how we're going to do this? Well, I'm screaming from my couch if anybody does anything for Team USA in any sport. That's all I know. I don't get that.
So the fans who decide to attend, they must wear a mask, but then head home right after the event.
It's over. Get out.
So you got to go home, and then I guess quarantine?
It's just kick you to the curb like a substitute girlfriend. Just get out.
I don't know why that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. We'll continue to have this conversation. We're about a month away from the Olympics. Here's my thing, though, and I told you at this point in time, Joe Girardi, here's my take on this situation. Yes, and I gave you the caveat earlier. I understand he acted like
a child.
A donkey. A child. A hee-haw. Yeah, I mean, he's ridiculous. He pouted. He threw a tantrum. He tried to one-up Max Scherzer. He tried to get in his head.
It didn't work, by the way.
I think it did a little bit.
Your team lost.
But the next time they play, is Scherzer going to be on the mound going, is he going to do this crap again? You know he's going to think about that.
Is a player going to be thrown at because of Joe Girardi's actions?
That's also a possibility. But what I think happened after the fact, when it's all said and done, regardless of, and I said this, regardless of the BS that he said and his reasons behind it in the press conference after the game, or whatever he's claiming is the reason that he had him checked for a third time in four innings, first of all, this is new. And we're going to eventually forget about this. But I think that in a weird way, in the locker room, they love him. They do.
Red Rob says Max is going to strike out 10-plus his next time out versus Philly.
Baloney's going to strike out 15 next. Probably no-hitter. Perfect game.
That'd be amazing.
Everything I'm saying, I don't even know if I believe it like I told you earlier. But here's the thing.
If you're Max, do you wear hair gel next time out?
Or shave your head.
Because, hey, if you want to check it, go for it.
You come out and you shave your head. But ask the guys in the locker room. Ask his team. You know, they were joking about, you know, you're going to check Bryce Harper's head. But in the locker room, they love Joe for that fiery personality. And I'm going to tell you this point blank.
A competitive edge.
It's exactly what the Yankees are missing right now with Aaron Boone. All you heard about was the binder, Joe Girardi and the binder and the analytics, and he relies too much on it. But every once in a while,
there was a fiery passion.
He went with his gut, and he wasn't afraid to call players out. He wasn't afraid to hurt Sanchez's feelings. You know what I mean? That's what Sanchez needs. That's what he needed, tough love.
A kick in the butt.
He's the exact type of manager that I think the Yankees need right now based on their struggles. Yes, the players have to perform on the field, but that is the missing ingredient. The fact that he got mad and got tossed recently is actually a good thing for the Yankees. They need to see more of that side of Aaron Boone.
They needed personality.
That's what Joe Girardi has. Listen, Joe Girardi's a smart guy, and he's a winner, and he learned from Torrey. Then he went to Florida, you know, and he got fired in a year, but he developed his style, and he did win a championship. Yes, the expectations with the Yankees are far beyond any other team in Major League Baseball. But I think that that's the type of manager that the Yankees need. And I think it was brilliant gamesmanship. And I think in the locker room, his players respect him for what he did because he was trying to get in his head and trying to help his team win the game. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters is he has that locker room.
But it didn't work.
It didn't work last night, but maybe it's a long game and the end game is what
he's trying to
get to.
Yeah, but are you going to do that every game?
Be kind of fun. Wouldn't it?
No. I guarantee there'll be a suspension handed down if this is happening every single game.
There's a good chance that I'm full of crap, but you know what? This whole situation, seriously, it's just killing me, Smalls. It really, really is. Let's close this segment out.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Up next, Odds Makers on ESPN Radio and the Sportzilla Show.
What are the odds? This is Odds Makers. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
If you're listening to us on the radio, which you obviously are, or perhaps you're streaming, or maybe it's your Amazon Alexa device, here we are. We're not on Twitch at the moment. They're airing the Kayla Trainer introductory press conference. You just heard from John Wildhack. He introduced Kayla. She's speaking now. We'll try to get you a little bit of feedback from that. It's kind of hard to monitor both around the air. We can't actually listen to it. We are watching it. We have it on the screen. I like the Syracuse pin that she's got on right now. Listen, we got to get her. You got to wear some orange, though. You got to wear some orange. It's a little bit of orange. The jacket's kind of orangish, right?
It's like a, I don't even know, like a mustard yellow.
Yeah, she's going to do a fantastic job. We're very happy for Kayla and her hiring third coach ever. Syracuse women's lacrosse. But we're at a portion of the day. It's hour number two. We call this Odds Makers. So We had Mario Sacco on a little bit earlier, ripping on Michael Lear, who will be back with us to give us more sports picks on Friday. He went 0-3. So his record is, boy, he's creeping back closer to 500 again.
Yes, he is.
He had a pretty good winning percentage, but we'll have to see what happened. Messed up a little bit, bet against the Buccos.
That's correct.
That was the problem. All right, what's first on Odds Makers? What do you got for me today? I'll give you a couple, you give me a couple.
Okay, well, you know, you were busting me yesterday for sending you the Ginger podcast from Dan Le Batard, talking about top gingers in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned something from that.
Okay.
Not exactly with sports, but did you know that the first president of the United States, George Washington, was a ginger?
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
Did you Google that?
Yes, actually.
You looked that up?
Yeah.
Really?
He wore the white wig, but his actual hair was ginger.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So I have something in common with the first president of the United States of America?
That is correct.
That's crazy. He had wooden teeth, too.
That's correct.
And he could not tell a lie. That's interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that. I still think that you're persecuting those of us. And if you're bald and you're a ginger, you're still a ginger?
That's correct.
Did we learn that, too?
I would assume so.
You trolled me with that on Twitter also. It's at ESPN. You are Matt. I'm at ESPN. Rain, if you want to talk to us directly.
So what are the odds that you knew that?
100% that I did not, or 0% that I did.
Ah, there you go.
What are the odds that you find this odd that there is no cheering at the Tokyo Olympics? I'd mentioned that a couple of minutes ago.
It's odd that you're mandating it. I know with Japanese culture, especially with wrestling, where if the guys are tearing the house down, they're usually not cheering because they're just watching the entertainment. They're watching the wrestlers do what they're paid to do, and they're admiring it. So they're not trying to distract from what they're doing.
I don't know if I could hold back. I would have to force myself to.
It's second nature to just, you know, audibly say something.
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm rooting for the Suns, and I'm watching that game last night drag on for 33 minutes for the last 90 seconds. But when Ayton caught the pass and made the dunk in that split second, I jumped off my couch.
If Team USA basketball is posterizing another member of another team, you're going to cheer.
Yeah, I don't know how you can sit in a crowd and not do that when the team that you're invested in and rooting for, especially it's the Olympics. This is beyond like your favorite professional team. This is for your country. I don't know. And I can't imagine it's just, say, the American fans or fans of team. But then again, you can't really go. I mean, it's 50%. Like, they're not.
Correct.
They're just not letting anything that you would normally expect happen. And yes, it is the lingering effects of COVID, and the way that it's affecting that part of the world is different than here and all of that. I don't know how you resist that.
But you have to go from the event straight home. You can't go get some food on the way. You're told to go straight home. I don't understand that one either.
You just get out. You don't got to go home, but you can't stay here. What if they don't want to go home?
Well, you have to.
I guess they have to go home. This is called Odds Makers, ESPN Radio and the Sports Illustrated Show. Alex Caruso got arrested. He had a grinder, and he was trying to go through TSA at Customs. He's traveling. He's on vacation. Obviously, he's on the Lakers. If you don't know, season's over. He's technically a free agent. He's technically unemployed right now, right? Or is the league's business season is still technically underway until the end of the finals?
That's correct.
Okay, so he's in a whole heap and load of trouble. What if he doesn't re-sign with the Lakers? They're going to ask him about that. Is it as big of a deal since it's after his season is over and with the way of the world and where it is legal in some places in the country, but because it's a big deal? And is he the last person that you thought was going to get busted for something like? What are the odds that you would hear a charge like that with an NBA player, a Laker even? And you thought it would have been Alex Caruso.
Slim to none. I mean, I definitely didn't expect it.
Stay off the weed.
I mean, if you're out there and you're listening right now and you're an NBA fan, okay, and you follow the Lakers and you're familiar with Alex Caruso.
You know, the bald guy.
And the news comes out yesterday that he gets arrested for possession of marijuana. Was that something that you woke up and said to yourself, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if Alex Caruso of the Lakers got caught with the hippie lettuce today? Nobody thought that that was going to happen. He is not the player on any team or in the NBA that I thought that was going to happen. I just didn't see. There's certain guys you go, yeah, maybe.
J.R. Smith?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there's a handful of guys where you're like, yeah, you might be somebody that I would select to get busted for that charge.
Alex Caruso, not one of them.
Alex Caruso was not that guy. LBJ trades him for, is that really your next question in Oddsmakers?
Yeah, what do you think?
Is he the general manager or is it Mitch Kupchak still?
It's LeBron.
I don't think that, he's a good player. He's a good roster player. Good rotation.
I understand that, but if you're a distraction from LeBron's team, adios.
Is he a distraction? I think this news goes away. It does.
It goes away in the next news cycle, yeah.
It's going to go away in the next couple of days with everything going on in the world. I can't imagine this is a big deal moving forward, and I'm sure he'll have the right answers to further his career.
So let's move away from like off-the-field stuff.
Okay.
Talk about on the court. What are the odds that CP3 is back tomorrow?
According to protocols and everything, he's asymptomatic. He has actually been texting his brother. Did you hear about that?
Cliff?
Yeah, his brother. Well, that's not his actual brother's name, but his brother has been sitting behind the Suns bench. And so he's home and he's been texting back and forth, giving feedback to Devin Booker and the rest of the Suns to help them win. That's kind of an amazing thing. I would think stuff like that happens more often than you might think. Interesting.
This is important information.
Breaking sports news. You hear it first.
Jeremy Grant will be on the Team USA for the Summer Olympics.
Syracuse, former Syracuse player Jeremy Grant of the Detroit Pistons.
That's correct.
Who got the number one pick in the draft lottery last night, making Troy Weaver, another member of the Syracuse family, very happy, has been selected to participate with Team USA in the Olympics.
Let's go. That's fantastic.
In Tokyo. Just remember, you can't cheer for them. And as soon as the game's over...
Well, you can if you're at home.
You got to go. But if you're there, you can't. But then again, they don't let anybody in. It's 50% capacity. That's awesome. That is awesome. Congratulations to Jeremy Grant making the Olympic team. Man, it's amazing what he has done with his career and just gotten better and better and better and better.
I agree.
Betting on himself, leaving Denver, going to Detroit to be the man, having a great season for a terrible team, but yet showing enough that Team USA said, you know what? We want to bring you on board. That's absolutely awesome news to hear.
He committed to the team. I don't know if he's actually selected for the final roster yet.
Fair enough. But you know what? I think
so. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up.
I believe in Jeremy Grant.
So do I.
And I think that he's going to make that roster. I got to believe in him. Absolutely. Booker is going to wear a mask because of this nose injury. Yes or no?
I believe so. I think he'll look Mamba-like, too.
It looked weird when he had the whatever was stuffed up in his nose yesterday.
During the press conference?
Yeah, and he sounded a little bit weird, a little Elmer Fudd-ish, if you will. He might wear a mask. Kevin Pillar's been wearing a mask.
That's true.
Since he got beaten in the face. Yeah. You've seen other players. Rip Hamilton's another one that comes to mind.
Who wore it his whole career after the injury because he just felt comfortable.
Yeah, what does this look Mamba-like?
Because of the mask. Have you not seen the Kobe mask on Twitter? Oh. I saw that all over my timeline last night.
Okay, you're going to have to share this with me, and we'll have to share that with the Twitch audience when we get back on there. We're going to attempt to make a couple of phone calls, but we know our guys Mark Larson and Nico Tamarian are lined up next on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line due to the Kayla Traynor press conference. Might not necessarily be available. As we can see, it is still going on right now. So we'll kind of stretch for a minute to try to get their feedback as they are there right now. We're not able to actually monitor what is being said. So we're going to give you an on this date right now. Share Ryan Mullen's contribution to our Twitch channel and our Twitch chat. Please go.
What happened on this date in sports history? Let's go back to the future. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Wow, this is a bigger deal than even I thought.
There you go.
You really made that have all pomp and circumstance. Go.
On this day in 1996, after Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated Jake the Snake Roberts to win King of the Ring tournament, Austin gave his infamous Austin 316 speech that would put Stone Cold on the map.
Was it that, or was it the rivalry with Vince McMahon that really did that? Being able
This started the elevation of that character into the fights with Vince.
It kicked it into the Attitude Era.
That's correct.
The milk truck was a favorite. Wasn't there a beer truck, too?
His was the beer truck. Kurt Angle was the milk truck.
In response to that. Why don't we go back to that? Is there a reason? Can you tell me, being a wrestling fan?
Probably because sponsors don't exactly like that kind of thing. So it's a money decision for Vince and the creative staff.
It's not quite as family friendly. Is that their concern?
That's correct.
We are seeing in the Kayla Trainer press conference via Twitch. You can watch
Chris Carlson.
Hughes Sports Talk, Chris Carlson, which just means I'm going to have to reach out and we'll book him for the Sports Illustrated show to get his observations from the press conference. He's smiling right now, so I think there's some good things going back and forth. All right, why don't we take a quick break? If we can get either Mark or Nico on the phone, if the press conference ends in the next couple of minutes, we'll get you some immediate feedback on that. If not, I have some leftover audio from Soundcheck that we can share in just a couple minutes pertaining to, well, many of the conversations that we've already had on the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and the Glue Guy, Matt, on ESPN Radio.
You a sports fan?
And twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Our Twitch channel, Q Sports Talk, John Wildhack is addressing the media taking questions after hearing from Kayla Trainer, now the Syracuse women's lacrosse head coach. Congratulations. During the commercial break from radio, we were able to listen for a couple of minutes, and they immediately asked, is her age, she's not quite 28 until November, is that a concern? And he started just rattling off coaches, and Pat Summitt was 123 when she became a head coach. Jim Boeheim, 31. Brad Stevens, Butler, 30. A really young coach in the NBA when he took that job. Basically, he rattled off a few more names and he went, yeah, it's not really much of a concern.
We're back on Twitch.
And we are back on Twitch. The press conference is over. That means in a few minutes, we will probably be able to get Nico Tamorian on. Of course, we saw him and Chris Carlson and Mark Larson and many others asking questions about this. Brent Axe will be talking to Kayla Trainer tomorrow. The exact time, I'm not 100% sure. And it was supposed to be 4:20 today with the press conference and everything else. Things have gotten moved around a little bit. Axe will be talking to her tomorrow. We wanted to correct the information that was put out there. Let me make sure we hit that up for you. I'm anxious to hear, I'm excited to hear the feedback from those guys that I just listed, from Nico Tamarin and from, of course, Mark Larson with Spectrum. And we'll do that in just a couple minutes. We got five here now, so let's actually bring back in our sound check segment. There are a couple of pieces of leftover audio that I wanted to share and have a discussion with. It's Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio. Let's hear from Bruce Bowen, excuse me. He was on with Greeny earlier and talking about the Suns-Clippers series. The Suns are up 2-0 without Chris Paul, expected to be back tomorrow. The Clippers are without Kawhi. Paul George, who came through in game one, choked those free throws at the end of game two. Just the worst possible time to miss a couple of free throws. And it'll be tough for the Clippers to come back now.
There's so much mess when it comes to we talking about the Clippers. Are they satisfied with just now getting to the Western Conference Finals? Are they content with that? Are they looking to be better and move forward? Because if they are, and this is not a knock on Paul George, but you're the leader there. You're at the free throw line, and you're a good free throw shooter. I didn't like the fact that he said, well, I'm known as a guy that can close games out. I didn't like that response. More than anything else, you didn't come through in that moment.
He did not come through in the critical moment of that game. Does that remain in his head if he has another opportunity, maybe a big shot in the waning seconds of a game, or he's in another situation where he's got to hit those free throws and that memory of missing those two? Because you know what I mean? You're a little bit tenser than normal.
Well, I think the playoffs are a big issue for Paul George to begin with. And then you add that clutch moment into it, and it seems that he's scared of the moment.
It was interesting because you look, and I mean, it takes Giannis forever to shoot his free throws, but you saw him feeling the pressure the other day. I mean, he shot that air ball in that first of the two shot foul, and it had to have been a foot and a half, 2 feet from the front of the rim. I mean, it was
5-year-olds don't even do that.
I mean, it was a terrible air ball that you never expect to see on an NBA court. So it gets the best. I mean, sometimes you got to check your mentals, right?
Like, yes.
Like Marshawn Lynch said, sometimes it gets the best. Yeah, I'd be hard pressed to be able to. I guess let time slow down and be comfortable in that moment. That's a lot of pressure, and the circumstances and stakes are very high.
Especially now with stands being almost full capacity, you got a lot of people staring at you.
Our expectations are ridiculous. You know, when we're watching a team, they're supposed to make every single shot and always make the right play. And you're supposed to do that with the best athletes in the world at the speed of the game, the size of these guys. It's, pun intended, a tall task sometimes. Let me give you one piece of audio, and then we will step aside for a break, and we'll try to get Nico Tamarian on as close to 3:30 as possible and follow it up with Mark Larson to hear a little bit more about the Kayla Traynor press conference that just wrapped up on our Twitch chat or on our Twitch channel at Q Sports Talk. And I want to remain with Bruce Bowen here. I want to flip over to the 76ers and their issues and Ben Simmons, and maybe he needs a change of scenery. And he said, I don't know if Ben Simmons is the point guard that's going to help us win a championship here. Joel Embiid said the turning point of the game is when basically he wouldn't shoot. Man, there's a lot of issues to figure out with Ben Simmons. And it's not just that. I mean, there was a lot of issues that led up to the point that he just wouldn't shoot in the fourth quarter. He was just afraid to shoot.
And it's not just him either. It's Tobias Harris. It's a lot of the other Sixers as well.
So the question is, being that there's been 29 closeout games that have been lost by Doc Rivers, Bruce Bowen's suggesting that maybe it is Doc Rivers that's the problem.
You look at Doc Rivers in Boston, yeah, I believe a lot of people could have been able to win a championship with KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. Ever since that championship, or prior to that, he's never been to the Eastern Conference Finals without that group. Mm-hmm. So at what point are we going to start saying maybe it has more to do with the leadership of the team? Because I remember being on TV talking about how we need to hold Joel Embiid accountable when they fire Brett Brown. Hey, Brett Brown don't look so bad right now because of what's transpiring. And it's basically the same group you have. So let's talk about that, Greeny. The leadership is what it's about, and the culture of the organization. When you have your star player talking about another player, that tells me a lot more than I need to know as far as how this place is ran.
He's basically alluding to Joel Embiid calling out Ben Simmons for not shooting. He doesn't have any faith in his teammate anymore. And if you think he's the only one, he's the one that verbalized it and vocalized it, but he's not the only one. I don't think that you can win that locker room back when you disappear under these circumstances. A chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals to win an NBA championship. And I don't think you can win back the fan base at this point. This wasn't a one-game thing. This was the fourth quarter of every single one of those seven games he disappeared.
And there's a four-year track record of Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And there's been little to no progression with him.
None whatsoever, to reiterate something that Stephen A. said, and he's exactly right. From year one to year four with Ben Simmons, he is the exact same player. He has not taken every offseason to work on and perfect and better any aspect of his game. And that is exactly what all of the greats do. They get better year after year after year after year. Whatever the circumstances are with the Lakers and LeBron, who will be 37 next year in year 19, he will work on his game.
Yes.
You know what you're going to see from Carmelo Anthony all offseason? The same thing. He will refine the skills that are necessary for the role that he will fill on his team, and he's not the only one. You think Damian Lillard's not already back in a gym? Of course he is.
He's probably back in the gym the next day.
And other guys like that. Certain guys have one mentality, and there are other guys clearly that do not have that same mentality. Yes.
I can give you the 12-man Olympic roster for Team USA.
If you happen to have stepped off for a minute to check out the Kayla Traynor press conference at Q Sports Talk on Twitch.tv, or maybe you're just joining us, Jeremiah Grant, former player at Syracuse, now with Detroit. He has committed to Team USA. Give me the 12.
You got Kevin Durant, another guy who you're going to see in the gym all the time.
All the time.
Dame, Bradley Beal, yep. Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, Kevin Love, Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and of course, Jeremy Grant.
They have no chance whatsoever of winning Olympic gold with that roster. That'll never happen. You know,
I see some jokester on Twitter going, without Harden, they're not winning gold.
Oh, boy. Really?
Come on, you got KD sitting there. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to be absolutely fine. They're going to win gold. You would think that they would. On paper, you would think that they would. However, there's a lot of great international players out there, and the competition is stiffer than it has ever been at least in my lifetime, right? Yeah.
Because a lot of those guys are in the NBA now.
You are absolutely right. All right, let's pause right here. We're going to take a quick time out on ESPN Radio and the Sports Hill Show, and we're going to dial up Nico Tamurian and see if we can't get him on, and then we'll follow it up with Mark Larson. Both were at the Kayla Trainor press conference, as she is now the new Syracuse women's head coach for lacrosse. That's next.
He's to the 10, 15, he's to the 20.
It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Here's Rain and Matt.
So it's a fantastic thing when you develop relationships and you can reach right out to Mark Larson, a Spectrum, and he's sitting in the room with the information that you need while you're live on the radio. And that just happens to pertain to Kayla Trainor, now hired as the Syracuse women's lacrosse coach, following Gary Gate, who moved on over 2 weeks ago to the men's team. You were in the room. You were able to actually hear what we were watching on our Twitch feed at Q Sports Talk. Mark, just tell us about what you heard from John Wildhack introducing her. Of course, her responses to questions, and then what you heard from John Wildhack afterwards.
You know, I'd like to think that I always have the information you need, whether I was in the room or not, but that's another topic for another day. I was very, very impressed with Kayla Trainor. I remember her. She only left here 5 years ago. And while she was okay with the media, she had a habit of starting every response with a yeah, even if her answer was no, she would still say, yeah, no. You know, so she had none of that today. She was measured. She was calm. She was in control. For a 27-year-old, I mean, at 27, I'm not even sure I was putting together complete sentences. So she was very impressive, and it's easy for me to see why, even at her young age, she was a slam dunk, just a no-brainer hire. I think they've got a good one. They've got someone who knows the game, who's had a lot of success at the game, who has a passion for it, and she's young and up and coming. And the most interesting thing John Wildhack said, in my opinion, was in response to one of my questions. I said, John, was her age ever a factor? And he said, my crack research team did a little research and put together a list of young coaches. So listen to this. Pat Summitt, when she took over as head coach at Tennessee, she was 23. Okay? Here's another one. Coach K, when he took over at Duke, he was 27. All right? Same age as Kayla Trainor.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Boeheim, by the way, was 31, so not a whole lot older. And he went down, he rattled off a few more names that I can't remember right now, but just the first two, Pat Summitt, Coach K, two winningest coaches in their respective sports.
Brad Stevens, 30 at Butler, right?
Yep. That was another one. Yep. You brought that one up. So, you know, who are we to say who's too young?
Well, it's funny. We had Mario Sacco on, your golfing buddy, a little bit earlier today. and we were saying, you know, what does she come in and change? What does she do different than what Gary was doing? And he said, basically, the only thing that's really left is focus on recruiting. Obviously, that's very important. Keep bringing in these great players. But all that's left, everything else is off the table. Win the national championship that you just lost, I guess, to the team that you spent the last few years with. That's it. That's the expectation. That is massive expectations for a young coach. But Wildhack had talked about her maturity. Clearly, a bleeds orange and probably the right woman for that job. And oh, by the way, she can walk down the hall, Mark, knock on Gary Gates' door and pick his brain. Her former coach and now, yep. What are they? Co-workers?
Colleagues.
Yeah, colleagues. They're running one of the best lacrosse programs collectively in the country.
Well, yeah, they're peers now. So
there you go. There you go.
It's interesting because I don't know how much she's going to be walking down the hall to talk to Gary. I think she's pretty sure of herself and what she's doing. I mean, remember, she won the national championship last month as the assistant at BC, but she's coached in the last three. She said out of the last eight Final Four, she's been to seven of them as a player or coach.
Wow.
So as much success as Gary Gate has had and has brought to that program, there is no reason to believe that Kayla can't win a national championship in her first year. I mean, we know the cupboard is stacked. Harris Chuck is talking about coming back. In addition to everybody else that exploded this past year, the Megans and whatnot. So, you know, there's no reason Emma Ward as a freshman, there's no reason that I can think of that they won't be at least among the top three favorites to win the national championship, despite having a brand new head coach. But, you know, I don't know. It's not rocket science, right? She knows the game. She's played it forever. Her dad, she pointed out, has been a coach his whole life. So she's a coach's kid. This is not overwhelming for her. This is like she is as ready as a 27-year-old can be to be in this position she is.
Yeah, it's a perfect person for the job at the right time. Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports is here with us on the Sports Illustrated Show. It's ESPN Radio. So the last thing I want to have you comment on, we were talking about this a little bit earlier as well, Mark, but she's still an active player. She was amongst, what, 36 women that were invited to training camp for the U.S. national team, along with a couple of current Orange players. This is a coach that is young enough and literally could be the best player on the field. And I mean, you want to talk about getting your hands dirty and showing these girls how to play this game at the highest level. That's her. That's Kayla Traynor.
Oh. Yeah, can you imagine these girls on the team that have been coached the last few years by probably the greatest male to ever pick up a lacrosse stick, Jim Brown. Maybe he and Jim Brown are tied. And now they're going to be coached by maybe the greatest female player in the history of the game. So two highly skilled players in their own right. I think that she will command the respect of anybody that she talks to as someone, like you said, who is still active, who plays for the U.S. national team. You know, walking into a recruit's living room, you know, maybe with a gold medal in her hand, a national championship ring, as someone who can show them her tricks. I mean, Charlotte North, who heard of Charlotte North before Kayla got there and then turned her into the all-time leading single-season goal scorer across history.
Yeah, 100-and-something goals. Yeah. Just remarkable.
Yep.
Listen, Mark, we're up against a quick timeout. We got to take a break here. I'll be in touch soon. We'll get it together for next week. We're going to need probably two foods to talk about since we're going to take one off the table today. Thank you for filling us in on what you heard today with Kayla Traynor at the press conference.
That's
Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports. This is ESPN Radio and the Sports Hill Show. We're going to get a little bit more feedback on that from Nico Tamurian of CNY Central. We'll slot him in next.
The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Hello? I can hear you.
Okay, well, so we've made some amazing adjustments.
Here's the last thing we'll say today on ESPN Radio,
ESPN,
and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Going to jump right in on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line with Nico Tamurian from CNY Central, another one of the fine journalists, sports journalists here in Central New York that was at the Kayla Traynor press conference. It's now official. She was introduced by AD John Wildhack, and she is following Gary Gates' footsteps and is the new coach of Syracuse women's lacrosse. With one expectation, the only thing left on the table, that's what we've asked everybody and talked about today. Listen, everything else is in place. Win a national championship now. And boy, is she familiar with that coming over from Boston College. And you know what? Guess what? She played at Syracuse. She understands what championship pedigree is all about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And she's ultra confident. And that's the biggest thing when you're looking at that is she said that she's been like, I've been in seven of the last eight Final Fours as a player and as a coach. And so you know the road. You know what it's like to be there. And that's the biggest thing. I think it's huge. I think it's awesome. One of the things that stood out to me, and obviously stands out to everybody, is, okay, she's 27. That's young. But she's got maturity well beyond her years. And that's what John Wildhack said, and he's absolutely right about it. And she handled all those questions with grace. She's ready to prove something. And I think she will. Will it be this year? You know, that's anybody's guess, right? Because it's not exactly, you know, like you snap your fingers even for a program as talented as Syracuse and get there. But I think she will be that person that takes him to the next step. And this is, it's a home run hire. It's somebody in the family, but it's also a home run hire.
So what was your biggest takeaway from the presser?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when you look at it is I just mentioned it. You know, it is striking that she's 27 and just 5 years ago was playing for Syracuse. But, you know, there was a lot of questions about it. And naturally, people doing their jobs. But it's the way you can see how she's going to handle this job and all the pressures that come with being a first-time head coach and the way she answered those questions. She's like, yeah, we're going to be disciplined. We're going to do this. And I mean, she already has her plan in place. And, you know, John Wildeck said he was supposed to have a half hour with her in his interview. He spent an hour with her just because they enjoyed the conversation so much. And it was fun to go there. And listen, just like Gary Gates, one of the best to ever do it, if not the best to ever do it on the men's side, Kayla's that same title in women's lacrosse. So that's the thing that stands out to me is how ready she is for the challenge. She's saying all the right things. And I mean, look at her tutoring Charlotte North in BC when they won the title over Syracuse just a few short weeks ago. So yeah, that's the thing that stands out to me is how ready she is for the job and how ready she is, how quickly, you know, after college, just 5 years.
She, of course, is still an active player with the U.S. national team. We had discussed that a little bit already, but it also brings up another point. Listen, she's relatively close in age with the players that she's going to coach.
She's going to be relatable.
Exactly right. And I think that is also beneficial to success moving forward. You know, she can go in with the maturity beyond her years and talk to a potential recruit's family, but she can also have those side conversations and can speak the language of the girls that are coming into this program. That's a huge advantage for Syracuse.
No question about it. You know, she was asked that by Chris Carlson at Syracuse.com, and she said, you know, I don't know if it's an advantage, but it's something she does plan on utilizing, and it's something that will help her, as you said, relate with all those people in the program, all the players in the program. So, Rain, you're spot on, brother. It's one of those things that it's funny. John Wildeck said, I knew I was going to get a lot of questions about this, so I came prepared, and he rhymed off the ages of a lot of legendary and highly successful coaches, including Pat Sumner, who took over Tennessee women's hoops at 23. So, this is an exciting thing, and I love that Syracuse didn't overthink it. They said, okay, regardless of age, this is the best person for this program. She's an orange, and they went ahead and made the move, and relatively quickly speaking, considering that they just interviewed her last week.
Absolutely. Nico Tamirian from CY Central is with us here on the Sports Illustrated Show on ESPN Radio. Top of the hour, Brent Axe on the block. I'm sure he'll have more on this subject of Kayla Traynor becoming the new Syracuse women's lacrosse coach. He also will be talking to her tomorrow. He'll fill you in on the details. It was initially thought they'd be speaking today. It has been moved to tomorrow. Rest of the details with him. And the remaining time that we have with Nico, we wanted to quick ask you about Glue Guy. You want to talk about golf? They got it done this weekend. Go ahead.
Yeah, the 13th annual Alonzo Open happened on Saturday, and apparently you and Brent Axe lost by a one-stroke lead to Mario Sacco.
Well, let's be real. We didn't even come close to winning the actual tournament, but because of all of our radio stuff, we've had a mini competition with our guy Mario, and the format is essentially two-person captain and crew, whatever you call that, captain and mate. You both hit, play from the best spot. And Mario and my guy, Tommy Sladek, in my sports department beat Brent and I by one shot. And Brent and I were hitting the ball incredibly well, but we had a lot of bad putts. We left a lot of putts out there, a lot of greens and regulations that turned into bogeys, so not good.
Be honest with me, who missed more putts? Was it you or Brent? And even if it wasn't Brent and it was you, you can blame Brent because he's not on this call right now, and then we can let him defend that after 4 o'clock. Also, I might be starting a kerfuffle of my own.
Well, the problem is we both putt, so we both missed it, right? Because we hit on the green in a par three, then we both have a chance to make that birdie putt and miss. And then we both have a chance to make that par putt and miss. So as much as I would love to start a kerfuffle, because that's a lot of fun, we're both equally at fault.
I'm blaming Brent.
That's fine with me.
I understand the format. I'm blaming Brent. I think it was his fault that you guys left some putts on the course. Did you have a good time? Yeah. And it was for a great cause. Tell everybody a little bit more about what Alonzo Open is.
Yeah, so Alonzo is a dog my family grew up with. It, named after Alonzo Mourning, by the way, because my brother was a big Charlotte Hornets fan way back when.
That's awesome.
And it was just, we started the year after he passed. It was a nice way to honor him. And then a few years ago, it was a little fun tournament. We added the charitable element. So we raised money for Shamrock Animal Fund, which is Matt Mulcahy here at CNY Central's charity that helps people in need pay for vet bills. Because if you've got a pet, you know how expensive those can be, especially in emergency situations. So great cause, and hopefully we can help some in-need families through Matt's charity, no doubt about it.
So real quick, Nico, we got just a minute left here. How did the Yankees lose last night?
I mean, that's like the story of the Yankees, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I'm a big Yankees fan, and it's troubling, it's head-scratching, and it's all these things in one because this shouldn't be happening, and the talent's there. I mean, we could talk all day, right?
Against the Royals.
I'm sure you guys do. Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's a head-scratcher. I don't know the answer. I do like Aaron Boone, but I just think that you have to pinpoint somewhere, like, what is happening because it shouldn't be happening this way, yet it continues to. That and the injuries continue to plague this team. So I don't know what's going to happen, but they should be performing better than that. No, I mean, that's the obvious statement of the year, not good talk radio. I'm just at a loss. It's so crazy.
It is. It's perplexing because you look at the lineup and the roster and you're like, how is this happening? That's Nico Tamarino, CNY Central. We appreciate his time as always. He'll be back on with us next Wednesday. You are on the block with Brent Axe at the top of the hour right here on ESPN Radio. Thanks, Nico. And Brent, it's all yours.